These are stories of service above self. Rotary's highest honor recognizes individuals who personify Rotary's motto, service above self, by volunteering their time and talents in exceptional service to others. It is awarded annually by Rotary International based on nominations from district governors. Only a maximum of 150 nominations worldwide are considered, no more than one per district, and even fewer are actually selected each year. Since Rotary is recognized worldwide as a service organization, active in local and international communities, how individuals dedicated to service above self are making a difference in people's lives are uplifting stories of interest and an inspiration to others. This is part of a series bringing you stories about people of action who put service above self to make a difference. District Governor Charlie Cole was recognized with this special award in 2002. Charlie, welcome to the Voices of Rotary, where we share stories of service with fellow Rotarians and members of the community. Now, you received your Service Above Self Award in 2002. It's been a while, but I'm sure you remember it because it was a very, very special occasion, not just for you and your family, but also for your club and for the entire district. Now, here's something you may recall once I bring it back to your attention. I'm quoting from a letter from Rotary International President Rick King at the time in his letter to you. Charlie, your selfless service to others has distinguished you from among the members of the worldwide Rotary family. And I believe you are an extraordinary example of how each Rotarian can make a difference. Thank you and warm regards, Rick King. So how did this award surprise you, make you feel? Tell us your sentiments at the time when you found out about it.
It was a total surprise. I did not know that I had been nominated. And I think that my family, I'm not sure if my family knew it or not. I don't think they did, but it was a little, I thought it was unusual that morning when she showed up to be at the meeting, which she normally didn't do. So it was a total surprise, and it just set me back. I'm not sure that on the spur of the moment, I expressed myself in the sincere appreciation of the recognition. It was a good feeling, and that followed me a long while, all the rest of my Rotary life. I appreciated the thoughts very much. I believe the nomination was made by Carl Nelson, governor from District 5110. And I'm not sure what Carl said in that nomination. I never did see it, but he must have blown it a little big in order for me to be selected. I appreciated it so much. Yes. No.
Well, you know, Colleen, she who knows everything, knew about that too.
Yeah.
She did. And she was tasked with making sure you would be there for the event because everybody was looking forward to that.
Well, she kept a good secret.
That she is. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about your service along the lines of you're now 94, aren't you?
I will be shortly, yes.
Okay. I'm rushing you. Sorry. Service of some kind or another has been a lifelong dedication for you. Tell us a little bit more about your many years of different kinds of service and how this affected your life.
Well, I always felt, as you know, I had a 33-year career in the Navy, and I always felt while I was doing that that you owed something to the people who supported you. And I tried to do that throughout my Navy career in recognizing my crew for what they did for me. And I found myself doing the same thing in Rotary. And when I retired to my local community, I just felt at a loss that I didn't have more tasking to do in terms of the job. And so I found myself sort of volunteering for a lot of community types of things. And as a result of that, my next award, after my awards in the Navy was in 1982, I had been appointed as chair of MAPAC, the Metropolitan Advisory Planning Committee. I was appointed to that by the Lane County Commissioners in Lane County, Oregon, near in Eugene. And as a result of that work, which was very important to the community, why I ended up in 1982, I was Lane County Council recognized me as a leading citizen. And out of that, why, of course, visibility became great. So I went on in doing what I could do in Rotary, but I found myself being involved in the local community quite a bit too. I was in MOA, which is a retired the Military Officers Association, RE, and I ended up being president of that for 3 or 4 years. And out of that, I got recognized with the Leadership Award in Rotary. And as most of my Rotary friends know, we had lost a daughter shortly before I retired to a drunk driver. And so Colleen and I were founding board members of the Lane County chapter of MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, and served different offices there and ended up being the chair of the state MAD. And I was on the advisory committee for Camp Lutherwood, which is a Lutheran church camp for young people, which is one of my strong beliefs, the different things that I did in Rotary itself. One of the things, of course, I was governor, and we're always proud of that, but one of the things that I liked most about my Rotary activities is being on the Northwest Pets Committee for 14 or 15 years. And during that time, at one time, I was chair of that committee. That was my richest Rotary experience. And then there are other things that I won't go into, but it seemed like that as I reviewed my getting ready for this interview, I kind of reviewed my resume, and as I noticed that I was chair and so forth, types of roles that encouraged or trained people for leadership and for recognizing organizations for what they do. Leadership and organization seem to be my favorite part of how I was involved in the local community. I am a level 2 major donor. I'm very proud of that. Colleen and I were both fellowship stewards.
Well, here's one thing that I also noticed in the letter from RI President King. He specifically singled you out for your exceptional contributions in membership, not just recruiting, but retention in the entire district. So that was considered one of your better accomplishments by not just your fellow district Rotarians, but recognized by Rotary International. Clearly an important aspect of what you contributed to Rotary.
Yes, that was the membership was probably my focus in those years surrounding, you know, before and after my governor role. I ended up with Rick King, President Rick King. I ended up being a regional representative for membership in the several districts in the West. And that year that I was regional membership chair, we had the greatest growth that we had in Rotary in terms of membership during that year. It was a record year. I was also proud of the membership when I became president of my Rotary Club in 89 or 90, whenever it was. We had members of, I think, 32 or 33. And by the time I finished my year, our membership was over 50. And it's one of my concerns about Rotary now. I look in our district, and this that covers most of the 78% of the state of Oregon, the population in the years since I was governor has increased a lot, more than 1 million. And yet I find that in our district, our Rotary membership, our district membership was over 4,000, like 4,200 or 4,300. And it's now down to 3,400. And I find that difficult to comprehend. I see it happening other places in Rotary as well. with our general population growing, and yet our Rotary membership is decreasing. Some of that has to do with us getting more clubs and therefore covering the area geographically, but it still bothers me that our membership is not as great as it had been in the 1990s and early 2000s. Technology has helped me to keep up to date through Zoom with my Rotary Club and then getting the news out of Rotary International. And I am pleased that leadership in Rotary is focusing on membership by giving all sorts of hints about how to emphasize membership in your Rotary clubs. I'm happy about that. I noticed one of your questions in your outline was what one of the seven avenues of service, which ones I felt like we should focus on. And I think as I look at that, the one that I am most interested in is the one having to do with water. I was chair of a committee at the Rotary Institute. Those seven subcommittees said our interest should be polio. We had a handle on polio. It's not over with yet, but it's almost over, and it was in good shape at that time. We should be focusing on water throughout the world. And I believe that to be true now. I think that that's something that we can tackle like we did with polio. So very proud of what Rotary has done with polio, and we're almost there, but don't give up. We're not quite there yet. We need to keep working on it. I just feel that we can have more impact as an organization worldwide, a service organization, if we focus on what is becoming, with the climate change considerations, is becoming a very serious problem in many parts of our world, particularly here in Central Oregon, where I now live in the retirement home. We've had the drought for 3 or 4 years, and they're forecasting it to continue next year. So to me, that is a very important emphasis in our avenues of service should be. And the other, of course, is hearkening back to my long-term interest in young people in the basic education and literacy for our young people. That's why I was so proud of having been a member of the PETS organization for so long. That was very important to me. And once again, in my community services, I was on the advisory committee for the Lutheran Synod in the state of Oregon. And related to that, I was on the advisory committee for Camp Lutherwood. It focuses, of course, on young people. And our RILA program in my district was very strong over the years. And one of my favorite doings was the Rotary Exchange students. And I'm glad to see that with pandemic almost over, we're beginning to come back to that. I hope it continues. Young people is where we will get our membership in future years. And we need to help those young people in terms of education and literacy. Anything else?
Well, would you share with us one or two actual service projects, either within your club or within your area, or maybe even an international project that you were particularly interested in and participated in and maybe still feel very strongly about, perhaps water related?
Well, I think from the international point of view, I mentioned how I've headed up the subcommittee at the Institute on that focused on water as an international need. Of course, my membership being a regional membership under President Rick King, recall that I had 33 years of active naval service, and as such, I went to some 32 countries in the world, and I had a lot of foreign service, and including the family overseas, and had outreach things there. So when I retired into the local community, which was my home community, I was born in my grandmother's house in Springfield, Oregon. So when I retired from the Navy, we went right back to Lane County. Because I had done worldwide things already, I did not get involved directly through any of in making foreign trips under Rotary. I didn't do that, although I supported all of them. I was very happy when I was governor, our group exchange came from Russia, from Eastern Russia. And so I had that kind of outreach there. Within my club, one of the things I initiated that happened under my watch as president was the Christmas baskets for the needy in our local community. Now, keep in mind that that's been, 20 some years ago that got initiated. And I'm very proud that my local Rotary Club is still doing that and distributing through working with the school system. We're distributing some 40 Christmas baskets to the needy people every year. That was probably in terms of a direct hands-on project locally or internationally or anything, that's probably the best one that I did. And I'm glad that my club is still doing it. It's a very good program and has proved to be very effective and efficient and well-known. We don't do it anymore, but in my local area, in the Eugene Springfield area, for many years, we had the rubber duck. Proceeds from our rubber duck races always went to the organizations in Lane County that had to do with responding to the special needs, particularly of medical and low-income people's needs. And that was very well done. That program is not done anymore, but for many years, it was very effective in the local community. And as president of my club and as one of the participating clubs, I was always very proud of that from the Rotary point of view.
Now, you were also quite involved with the University of Oregon for some time. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, through some personal relationships with mutual friends with the dean of the College of Business at the University of Oregon, I was brought on the faculty for a special project, small business studies within the state, a cooperative program with the U.S. Bank and the U.S. Department of Commerce. And through the Department of Commerce, I was appointed as a special rep for export-import problems and issues and education and that sort of thing. Then ultimately, without a long, strung-out story as to how it happened, I ended up being the director of the International Business Program in the Graduate School of Management at the University of Oregon. And through that, I had a lot of contact with foreign students. I was the direct advisor and director of the graduate program, and I would have students who were with me, any given graduate students working on their international MBA were with me for 2 years. And in the two classes, then I ended up having in the neighborhood each year of each of those years, 20 to 30 international students. And of course, that was reaching out to the foreign countries relationship with the foreign students who were all graduate students, ending up when they go back to their countries being leaders in the development areas of their countries. That was my biggest participation. I did as an appointee from the faculty for the College of Business. I did do some international studies in Hong Kong and in Beijing, China, which were outreach things to foreign countries in terms of leadership and organization.
So leadership and organization is kind of a theme throughout your life, it seems like. Leadership, education, organization, and so on. So on a personal note, I don't know if you remember, but early in my Rotary years, you provided me with a lot of actionable advice and guidance during a leadership crisis in my own club at the time when I was president-elect. Do you recall that?
I do, not in detail, but in general, I do recall that, because as governor, I had that kind of a problem in two other clubs too.
I remember that Judy Beard Strubing was my district governor-elect while I was president-elect. And when I brought those problems to her, she referred me to you. She said, "The man you need to speak to is Charlie Cole. He's our unofficial parliamentarian in the district. He knows procedures inside and out. He's very, very up on leadership issues and organizational issues. That's your man." And I am afraid I took quite a bit of advantage of seeking your counsel numerous times, trying to help resolve that issue. So I want to take this opportunity to thank you again for that contribution.
Well, thank you, Emily, for what you did in Rotary. I was an optimist about the electronic clubs, and you started the one in our district and did it very nicely. And I was always I was sorry that I wasn't closer to you during those times, and I didn't join your new electronic club because by this time I was approaching retirement to the point where physically I couldn't be terribly active anymore, and so I didn't join it. I kept my membership in my parent club in Springfield. But thank you for your service that way. I appreciated it. And Beard Strewing over the years was a fan of mine, and I appreciated that. And what she did as one of the first women governors in our district, and did an excellent job. And it's one of my disappointments. Now I don't live in the valley anymore. I used to be a neighbor of Judy's about two blocks away.
Yeah.
And we always had, as a matter of fact, you're talking about the Service Above Self Award. Of course, after I got that, I wore the pin to our meetings every day, every morning. We're a Friday morning club. And I didn't know it, but I came out of that meeting one morning and somehow I lost my pin in the parking lot. Along comes Judy Beard Strewing. She says, "There's only one guy in the district's got that. I know who it belongs to." And that's
excellent.
How I got my pin back.
Judy on the spot.
It was from Judy.
Well, I'd like to ask you one more thing about, I think in Rotary, in your Rotary life, it was always sort of a family of Rotary kind of affair. The family was involved and no one more involved than Colleen. I practically do not recall ever over the years attending a district event where you two were not the solid fixture that held everything together. It was a family affair for you.
That is true. When she was able, she was always right there. She always went to those PETS things with me, went to every institute and every district conference that we could. As a matter of fact, you probably remember the institute in Monterey where you really helped us, because by this time, Colleen was in a walker. You remember that? And we were getting out of the car and the leg on the walker broke off. And I was chair of a DLBA district leaders meeting. And I had to get into the building and get going. You took over and got Colleen in there. I always remembered Emily for the fact that she knew what to do about a broken leg on a walker.
Well, Charlie, in closing, if I may, as a Rotarian for over 40 years, what would be your message to like-minded people, people of action like yourself, Rotarians and other volunteers in other organizations who serve their communities and in the process try to make a difference in someone's life?
I think for particularly for new members coming into Rotary, their first reaction is the social interaction that occurs from meeting new people within the club. Sometimes the new members then, they don't really get involved in community things outside of the club. I would like to encourage them to do that. Now, some of that has to do with the leadership of the particular clubs, in that they get a new member and that's an achievement that they get a new member, but then they don't really, as governor, I saw it happening. They don't really follow up on ensuring that new member is integrated into the actions of the club. So it's a part. It needs to be a partnership of the leadership of the club and the new member, that they do reach out. They don't just do the club. Doing it for the 6-8 months or a year while they're getting acquainted with their fellow members in the club and who does what and who's important and who isn't and that sort of thing. But then they need to look to starting out at the club level of being sure that they enable the leadership to get people, men and women, onto their different committees within the club and get them active that way. And then making it as easy as they can for those new members to participate at the district level, step by step, getting up to the district level. And you don't have to be a governor or a governor-elect to be getting involved in the international level either. It takes members, not the prestigious governors and governors-elects, to make international run. It takes the membership to get it to run. And that can only happen if the new members do reach out beyond their parent club, which their first advantage is the social interaction at the club level. But it takes the initiative on part of the members to realize how great an organization, service organization, Rotary is, and the accomplishments of Rotary throughout the world. It does your heart good to participate in that manner. That's kind of why I'm a major donor at level two, because I always felt like I couldn't physically go out and get things done, but that was something I could do, was to support the foundation as best I could. Have the new members understand that it's not an absolute obligation that they have to be a $100 a year member or something. That's not the way to approach it. You don't buy your way in. They have to take efforts on their part to get oriented as to what Rotary is all about, so that they want to participate in the outside activities. And so I would say for our club leadership, if I may, make sure that you pay attention to your new members. That's where the future of Rotary lies.
Right. I couldn't agree more. Well, Charlie, I really appreciate you sharing your stories with us. As soon as this story is ready to go, I will let you know. And before we close, on a lighter note, is there anything that you would be willing to share with us that might surprise some of your fellow Rotarians or other community friends that they may or may not know?
That's an interesting question. Well, one of the things that happened, just as an example, one of the things that happens here at Whispering Winds, where the retirement home where I live, is that everyone's always taking pictures. And so they want to take my picture. I say, don't do that. I'm on a special agent project. I can't afford the publicity. Try to turn them off a little bit. But different things happen, which when I had my 93rd birthday, there's a group, a social group within the community that got their heads together and wanted me to wanted to have a special dinner celebration, which they did. But guess what? They asked me to be in my uniform. And guess what? I retired in my uniform in 1979, 40 years ago. And on my 93rd birthday, I wore the same uniform and it fit. And so the secret that I have to anybody that they may not know about is that I consciously pay attention to my personal health. And I think that's where I've gotten to now. So don't get disturbed about being old. If you physically can't do it, which I can't do now, you can still be aware of what's going around the world. And I would like all my Rotary friends who may have come into Rotary after I retired from it, I'd like them to know that I'm very proud of my military service and my service to my country. Most of my retired friends, military retired friends, do know that, because I got the leadership award, the National Leadership Award, for my years as president of the local Retired Officers Association. So a lot of my current Rotary friends are probably not aware of the fact that I fly my flag every day, and I'm proud of my country. I'd like to have all the rest of the people be proud of their country. One of the great things about Rotary is the immediate response about Rotary was a disaster relief fund for the things going on in Europe. And Rotary is almost better than our government in responding to national needs of that nature. It was done quickly. And I hope some of my Rotary friends, I participated. I hope some of my other Rotary friends do that too. They may not know about that about me, that I am a major donor at level two, plus all the five Paul Harris Fellow Awards and so forth. They probably are not aware of my firm belief in support of our great organization.
Well, thank you, Charlie, for your service to your country, for your many services to your communities, and for your service in Rotary. It's much appreciated, and you can be a real role model for others, volunteers, Rotarians, whoever they are, to do the same. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Emily, for when this started, I wasn't all that keen on participating. I really don't like to be a braggart and have a big head about it. So a lot of this, my Rotary service page in my resume is one full page long. And I don't like to be throwing that at people. I think that's being egotistical. So I was a little hesitant, especially when you sent me the summary of what many other people had done. And I'm so pleased at how many of our former leadership in Rotary have done the polio trips. And we have a person in my local club that has been very active in water in South Africa. I regret that I don't have any of that on my Rotary resume, but it is, the page is almost full. So, and I have to use a cane to get around now, so I can't go and do it. But thank you for doing the, for making, you made me do this, you know. I think you know from our first kind of phone conversations, I was a little reluctant, but I'm happy that you did. Thank you for recognition. Yeah.
Well, I firmly believe these are all stories that we all have that can help inspire others to continue our work and go on with serving and making a difference in somebody's life. So thank you.
I have to ask you about the background on your picture. That's a beautiful sunset. Is that a picture on your wall in your room or something? Or
no,
it's not really that's a photo right now, is it?
No, it's a photo of a sunset from our patio here at the home that we rent during the winter in La Quinta, California. Mm. And it's just, they have a lot of stunning sunsets, and this is what it looks like in real life. But right now, this is a photo that I use as a background, but it's an actual photo of our actual location.
Good selection. Thank you. Tell Rick hi.
I will. Thank you. Now, to wrap up, we hope this story of one individual spending a lifetime in service to others and making a difference in people's lives will move you and inspire you to open yourself up to service above self. This is Emily Francona. Stay tuned for more stories about people of action who put service above self.